Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Savior, Jesus Christ, the Lord of the Church. Amen. The word of God for this morning is taken from the epistle lesson just read, Titus chapter 1. Dear friends in Christ, one of the joys of having children, especially when they were really little, is that sometimes we get to sit down with them and watch some of their favorite TV programs. Now, joy, I realize, may be a little bit overstated, depending on the program. It might also seem like a curse. But those of you who are parents know what it's like. You sit down with your kids, and sometimes you get to know the program almost as well as the kids do. A while back, I remember watching a Sesame Street with one of my kids, and at one point in the show, Ernie, rubber ducky in hand, tells Mr. Hoots that he wants to learn to play the saxophone. And in one of the show's most memorable moments, Mr. Hoots, who, by the way, is a jazz-loving owl, gives Ernie a lesson in repentance. You gotta put down the ducky if you wanna play the saxophone. You know what? A lot of us, I think, have had to learn that lesson through the years, the very same lesson that Ernie learned, that we do have to put down our ducky. We do have to put down our old attachments, our old ways of thinking, our old ways of behaving, not necessarily to play the saxophone, but to be the kind of men and the kind of women that God would have us be. In our lesson for today from the book of Titus, I think St. Paul is telling Titus and all of us who are called, who will be called to the office of the public ministry, that there are some very hard lessons to be learned, some very painful realities that have got to be experienced, some changes that need to be made, and some very difficult places in which we are called to do our work. For example, the island of Crete. Now, don't get me wrong, ministry really is truly grand. There's nothing like it in all the world. As I harp on it with my students, just think about it, guys. We get paid to be in the Word of God. We get paid to tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ. But it is not, and let me repeat this, it is not grand, great, and glorious in the way the world understands those terms. And we need to put down our duckies that we might be holding on to that might seem to suggest otherwise, that have been so terribly influenced by our world. Frankly, pastors have an extremely difficult job to do. And it's no surprise as we look out at our world that so many at times seem discouraged and may be ready to quit. And though it may not seem like it at face value, pastors, as Eugene Peterson said, are a persecuted lot in North America. And then Peterson goes on to say this: I don't believe I'm exaggerating when I say that it's far worse in America than in seemingly more hostile countries. Our culture doesn't lock us up. It simply and nicely castrates us, neuters us, and replaces our vital parts with a nice, smiling face. And then we're imprisoned in a mesh of necessities that keep us from being pastors. Contrary to popular opinion, pastors are not Jacks and Jill of all trades. And for all of us who have served in the parish ministry, we know that out there long enough, and pretty soon we discover that everybody and their brother and their dog has a job description for the parish pastor. Everybody seems to know what a pastor must do to be a real pastor and to be a really good one. And of course, that's the problem. But what makes matters worse is that we so easily and readily buy into it. We like to be needed. I mean, who doesn't? We like to have people like us, respect us, treat us nicely. It's really nice to be in demand until we find that most of the demands have virtually nothing to do with what the Word of God says, why we're there, and what we're called to do. Titus is left on the island of Crete, and he's given responsibility for laying the foundations for a Christian community in a culture that doesn't know anything about a Christian community or a life of faith. And he is to set things in order by appointing elders in the various churches over the whole island. In other words, Titus is called to develop leaders who honor the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ by their lives, by their conduct, and by their teaching. Now, we hear a lot about leadership in our day. In fact, we have a required course here at the SEM taught by Drs. Peter and Warnick on leadership that I hear is outstanding. There are a boatload of journals out there telling us about the latest idea to help your church grow, and there are a lot of good ideas out there. But all leadership finally goes back to who we are in Christ and how we minister to his people in his name. Leadership is not first and foremost about strategies or about techniques culled from a superficial reading of the gospel that knows little of Jesus himself, but first and foremost, leadership is about character, a Jesus leadership spirit, mind, and sensitivity, and it is always a leadership that is conspicuously lacking in the exercise of power. Henry Nouwen says this, "I'm deeply convinced that the Christian leader of the future is called to be completely irrelevant and to stand in this world with nothing to offer but his or her own vulnerable self. That is the way Jesus came to reveal God's love, the great message that we have to carry as ministers of God's word and followers of Jesus is that God loves us not because of what we do or what we accomplish, but because God has created us, God has redeemed us in the life and the death and the resurrection of his only Son, and he's chosen you and me to proclaim that word to his people." That's the gospel, and we take that word seriously, and quite honestly, this is what people are dying to hear. Whether it's the very young or the very old, people are simply pleading, begging, saying to you and to me, please tell me that it's true, because true love is always worth dying for. Please tell me that I'm worth dying for. Please tell me that someone loves me this much and will not let me go. Even if the Titanic sinks, even if a tsunami destroys thousands of people, even if towers collapse, even if terrorists strike, even if the world ends, please tell me that God loves me this much. Regardless of where you might be called one day, maybe to the island of Crete, where you will have to deal with a bunch of Cretans, or to Minnesota, or Michigan, or Texas, where you'll still find a bunch of them, we have to deal with people the way Jesus dealt with people and with you and with me. In fact, when you read the Gospels, Jesus speaks of himself as a shepherd, and he says this. He calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. Jesus always goes ahead of the sheep. And it seems to me that the important lesson of leading your people is this. I must go where I would lead the sheep. As the shepherd goes, so goes the sheep. As the shepherd goes, so goes the sheep. St. Paul tells Titus to appoint elders. And then St. Paul goes into great detail about the characteristics of the elders that he is to appoint and to lead, which really leads us to some questions. Do I really think that I can lead another person out of a life of deceit if I'm living with an ongoing sin in my own life? Do I really think that I can lead another person from bitterness and revenge against their spouse if I'm harboring those kinds of things against my own spouse? Do I think I can lead someone out of captivity to an addiction if in my own life I'm a slave to something or someone other than the Savior of the world? Do I think that I can lead someone in my ministry with grace and love when I don't live graciously with those in my own home? Folks, the real lesson of leadership is not that shepherding is about imparting knowledge or skills alone, but about going before in order to impart life. And this is exactly what the Good Shepherd did for us. There's absolutely nothing that Jesus asks of us that he has not first accomplished in his own body. Jesus calls us to walk in truth, and he is the truth. Jesus calls us to love one another, and he has loved us even unto death, death on a cross. Jesus calls us to carry the burden of others, and he was broken by ours and our sin. Jesus calls us to enter the muck and the mire of other people's lives, and Jesus entered the muck and mire of yours and mine. In the end, what keeps all of us going is the call, the office of the ordained ministry itself. And I got to tell you, it is a great ministry. It is a great life. It is a great blessing to do what God wants and to be who God wants us to be. Ministry is not just a matter of you going out there trying and trying and trying. It's a matter of a response to a divine summons, of saying yes to work together with God, a work not of our own devising, but that of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has called us. God grant that for Jesus' sake. Amen. And now may the peace of Christ, which goes beyond all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith unto life eternal. Amen.